Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have another great show. They're all great shows, let's be honest. During the first hour, we're going to be talking with Daniela Martin about her book, Edible. An adventure into the world of eating insects and the last great hope to save the planet. Then we'll be switching it up and be joined by Sean Casey to talk about N equals one, applying research to your life for health, longevity, and fitness. But let's get started right away because this is really an interesting discussion. And I learned a couple things about Daniela. How you doing, Daniela Martin?
I'm doing good.
Good. I learned a couple things about you during the pre-interview, and that is you're pregnant right now, right?
I am, yes, very much so.
I'm
just coming into my second trimester.
And so jokingly I said, you know, are you doing a lot of touring right now with the book? And he says, no, you know, with the pregnancy, you know, not throwing up in the morning and stuff like that is really the challenge. And I said, well, wait a minute. Is it the discussion about bugs, does it make you queasy? And you said?
It does.
So this is going to be interesting.
I think as a woman experiencing morning sickness and pretty intense morning sickness at that, I think I'm in the unique position of having to speak right. In detail at length and enthusiastically about eating bugs.
Yes.
Which right now makes me want to yak.
Well, let's do this. We'll stay as far away from texture, taste, and stuff like that to kind of leave that in the mind of the beholder. But then I asked you, I said, did you study entomology? And you haven't, right?
I have not. And in fact, a surprisingly few number of entomologists are actually even interested in entomophagy. My background was in anthropology, specifically human approaches to nutrition and medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So my interest in this has always been human cultural approach to eating insects, how it affects humanity.
Which really is something...
Which I think is much more relevant for my particular work.
Well, and it's much more relevant in the scheme of what we understand about health and longevity today, because when we look at ancestral eating templates, we realize that the way we ate before industrialization of the agricultural food chain in general was really a much better way to eat. So we have to go back. I don't know necessarily we have to go back to Paleolithic times, but obviously that's really become the buzzword for this. But we have to go back to a time when food was not marketed and people were resourceful to get their own foods. And I have to believe that eating bugs played a large role if we go further enough back, right? I mean, I have to believe that hunter-gatherers really survived sometimes because they were willing to eat bugs.
This is 100% true, and I think it has a lot of implications for modern society. First of all, people tend to think in Western society that eating bugs is this incredibly weird, marginal, exotic, almost newfangled idea, when in fact, this is something we've been doing since before we were even human. This is something we've been doing all the way through our primate evolution.
Right.
This is something we continued to do all the way through our human evolution, and in many cases, in many cultures in the world today, are still doing. So the idea that it's new or exotic couldn't be farther than from the truth. This is the most normal food we've eaten if you look at our history, number one. Number two, you brought up paleo diets. one of the things that people are concerned about today, especially in the paleo community, is nutrient density of modern foods.
Right.
Right? This idea that our soil has lost its potency and its nutrients, and that the foods that we're eating, even just the vegetables that we're eating, don't have the same levels of nutrients that they did before they became mass-produced, right?
Right.
This idea that, you know, a carrot, for instance, back before mass agriculture, had more nutrients, less sugar, and less carbs. You know, modern farmers are looking for yield. They're looking for sizes of produce. They're looking for the way they look. They're looking for how much they
right.
can get.
They want to. They want to
plant.
They
and less about nutrient density.
Right. They want to exploit those
right?
things. Yeah. They want to exploit those things
right.
that we like, sweetness and so
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And even meat. Right. Even if you go to the supermarket and you buy lean meat, you're still not getting the same nutrient density that you would have gotten back in the day from wild game.
Right.
Is this something you talk about in your show?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me okay?
I
want to make sure.
I can hear you great.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. It is something we talk about. We talk about it a lot, quite frankly. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a really relevant issue, especially for the paleo community. And honestly, I think insects are an amazing alternative because they haven't been farmed to death.
Uh-huh.
They still very much are the exact same thing you would have gotten hundreds, if not millions, of years ago.
Right.
You know, a cricket is a cricket is a cricket. It hasn't been bred to these gargantuan proportions like our, you know, chickens and turkeys that can no longer fly and our, you know, incredibly marbled meat cows.
Right, right.
Right?
So you're
getting very similar nutrients. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're getting very similar nutrients than that you would have just as your ancestors did.
So I
think insects are a true paleo food. I'm so sorry. I hear you talking.
No,
go ahead.
What happened? When did we fall out of favor with bugs, and what happened to us that made us do that?
Yeah, right? That's the question. That's what everyone wants to know. Well, why don't we eat them if they're so great? Why aren't we eating them? And the answer is that, you know, for instance, American culture came originally from English culture, right? We were the colonies.
Right.
England is not a particularly warm climate. Typically, in warmer climates, warm, moist climates, think Florida, insects grow large and they grow abundantly. And it's typically in these types of climates around the world where cultures still eat bugs, right? We're talking Africa, Southeast Asia, Latin America.
Okay.
These are places that are warm and tropical, and they have plenty of bugs, and people still eat them. In the other cultures that have grown to be pretty dominant cultures in our world, kind of the Anglo cultures, they lived in much cooler climates. The bugs weren't around as much, and there wasn't as much of a point of eating them. This is one of the strongest hypotheses as to why we no longer eat bugs in Western societies. There are many, many hypotheses here. The Bible has forbidden eating most terrestrial invertebrates, i.e.
Really?
Bugs.
I didn't know.
Well, it's interesting, you know, and I can wax on about this.
Well, okay, so
the Torah.
Let me ask
go ahead.
You, wait, before we get into the Torah, let me ask you something. So it sounds to me like bugs were much more nutritious, much more robust at one time, but maybe through this process of civilization, our bugs have gotten scrawnier. And as a result of that, they just don't provide the nutrition that they once did.
I don't know that that's the case. I would definitely say, I mean, you know, you talk about the roaches in New York. Do those look scrawny to you?
Well, compared to one of those big bugs that Joe Rogan had people eating on the reality TV show, they are scrawny compared to those. I mean, there are some big bugs out there. Like when I watch these shows about tribes in sub-Saharan Africa, they grab these beetles that look like they could be a taco and eat them, you know?
Right. So. And those beetles have grown up in a warm, moist climate, which is perfect for bugs. Bugs are cold-blooded. They can't make their own heat like a cow or a chicken can.
Oh.
So when they live in an environment that provides them one of their, you know, necessities for life, they grow big and they grow abundantly. So I don't know that you could say that civilization has scrawnified bugs. I would say that it's more living in a cooler climate, because if you go to these places, you know, those bugs are still big.
I see. Here, let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. We'll plug the book and your website at the same time. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. We're talking about eating bugs, because it's an important discussion. If we keep thinking about trying to feed the world, and we're always looking for alternative food sources, I predict that bugs will be one of them eventually. Maybe processed into a patty that doesn't look like its origins, but clearly it's going to be something that's going to be happening. The book is called Edible, An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and the Last Great Hope to Save the Planet, authored by Daniela Martin. You can get it by going to the Superhuman Radio website. It's right there on the homepage, down at the bottom left, in response to this interview today. And also, you can go to Daniela's website, where she has a great blog, and it's called, quite simply, girlmeetsbug.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. This is one of those things, I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight, because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back. We're talking with Daniela Martin. We're talking about her book, Edible, An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and the Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. You know, Daniela, in larger cities, there are restaurants that are already introducing bugs into very exotic dishes and fare. What do you think? Do you think that, are we going to see bugs introduced into modern food chains as they are, or are we going to see them processed into patties and things like that?
You're going to see both. you mentioned that some of the larger cities are starting to get restaurants that are serving bugs and stuff, and that is totally true, and it's a great introduction. When I was down in Austin, Texas recently, there was a sushi restaurant. I think it's called Rock and Roll. Ooh, I can't remember. And they did these crunchy maki rolls made with toasted mealworms. And they were amazing. I mean, I was gorging myself on them. They were terrific. I mean, not even like, oh, these are pretty good for bugs. They were just delicious.
Right.
That's just one example. And also, I think there's a website that I just found out about called entomophagy.com, I think. And they have a list of all the restaurants that serve insects currently. So if people are interested, they can check it out.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Okay, and you know what, I'm so sorry. I'm pregnant. What was the question?
No. It's okay. Whether or not we're going to see these in the food chain as processed, so we don't know what they look like, or will they actually be bugs? Because I'll tell you something interesting. Just why I ask this. I have a farmer that I buy chicken from, and I've spoken to her, and she has added mealworms to the feed, live mealworms, and the chicken is unbelievable.
Smart.
And mealworms have an interesting smell. I wouldn't say that they're disgusting, but they have a very pungent smell when they're in large bags. And I just can't imagine people being served that on a table, but I can imagine mealworms being ground up into a patty and covered with some sort of special sauce.
Yeah. I would like to respond to each of those things you said.
Okay.
People talk about, oh, you know, insects smell weird.
Right.
Well, you take some chickens and you raise them in a closed plastic container and you see how good they smell. They're not going to smell good.
Right.
Okay, I went to open air cricket farms in Thailand. They smelled like nothing. They smelled like cornmeal.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If you raise them in the open air, they don't smell. If you take mealworms out of where they've been farmed and you rinse them off, they don't smell.
Right.
You know, if you take any kind of livestock and you raise it in a closed container, yeah, it's going to get a little stinky. That's normal. Anyway, so I just wanted to address that, number one.
Okay.
Number two, by and large, the food items you're going to see in the mainstream food stream are going to be, like you said, ground up, right? You have Chipul, which is making cricket flour bars, energy protein bars. You have a company called Six Foods, which is making cricket flour chips.
Right.
You have a lot of companies coming into the, you know, you could call it the disguised insect food product. Because there, it's palatable for a broad range of people. However, there are those people that really love the experience of having the whole bug.
Mm-hmm.
When I do demonstrations, I used to do demonstrations for Ripley's Believe It or Not museums, and I would come and I would fry a whole range of bugs. I would fry tarantulas and scorpions and crickets and mealworms and grasshoppers, you name it. And without fail, the biggest bugs were the first to go.
Really?
Yes. Everybody wants to have that experience. Everybody wants to have that photo they can put up on Facebook or Instagram of them eating a giant bug. There's a huge culinary exotic thrill there. So I honestly, I think there's both kinds of markets, and this has been experienced across the board. There's a group, a company in Britain called Ento, and it sounds like bento, like a Japanese bento box.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And what they do is they make these tasty little cubes, that are, fortified with insect flour. And so they'll serve these at, they do catering, so they'll serve them at parties. And they always, they said, have somebody coming around behind the table and saying, hey, so, you know, where are the whole bugs? You know, where can I get like a whole cricket? Somebody always wants that. So I really, you know, I think there's two portions of the population. I think it's, you know, it's like when people go out and have sushi.
Well, you know,
there are
some
people that stick to all the.
You know what I wanted to mention here? I'm a huge fan of soft shell crabs. I don't care if it's in tomato sauce or wrapped into a hand roll, but I love soft shell crab. And to me, eating a soft shell crab is like eating a tarantula. It's got to be the same thing. It's got paper like skin and it's got great meaty inside, and you just eat the whole thing and swallow it.
It is so much like eating a fried tarantula, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I've actually made spider rolls with real spiders.
Really?
Where I tempura fried tarantula instead of having the tempura fried softshell crab. And it tasted almost identical.
Now, there's a picture on your blog of what appears to be a scorpion in your mouth. Is that really a scorpion in your mouth, or was that like photoshopped?
Oh, that's a real scorpion.
Okay.
It's not alive.
Okay, so
I'm not crazy.
Well, okay, so my question is, now some bugs have poisonous venoms to protect them, like a scorpion. Do you have to remove some portion of the tail before eating the scorpion?
That's debatable. The idea is that, yes, certain insects have venom. Scorpions are an arachnid, not an insect, but
okay.
If any entomologists are listening, they'd get mad.
Yeah, right. No, thanks for correcting
me. The idea is that when you heat it by cooking, the heat actually denatures the proteins in the venom, rendering it harmless.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So apparently you're supposed to be able, like if I take that scorpion, like the one that was in my mouth, and I deep fry it, for instance, it should be fine to eat. And in fact, this is typically how they're served in, you know, Asian markets. They're served intact. I'm a scaredy cat. I'm a worrywart. I cut off the stinger.
Yeah.
There's a video of me on YouTube deep frying a giant emperor scorpion.
Is that the big black
and
one?
And I
that's
absolutely
in the
cut off the stinger.
Is that the big black one?
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like a lobster. It's so big.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, a lobster is a lot dirtier of an animal. A lobster is a bottom feeding scavenger.
Mm-hmm.
Lobsters eat dead animals on the ocean floor, whereas scorpions catch all their prey live. So actually, eating a lobster is kind of grosser than eating a scorpion.
Well, I think dead sea creatures is the least of the problem. Lobsters eat other fish's poop. So let's be clear about something. They are.
Let's be clear. Yeah.
So
I agree.
All right. So you said Asia. Are some countries more willing to, or is it more of the cultural fabric to eat bugs than others? Obviously, the United States has to be the bottom of the list on eating bugs, right?
Oh boy, is the United States at the bottom? We're pretty close to the bottom. Yeah, I would say there's, you know, maybe Sweden,
mm-hmm.
you know, countries that are also very, you know, much cooler.
Right, right.
I'm not as into it.
But Asians, they love bugs, right? The Asian people, they love bugs.
The older generation still eats bugs. You know, you could be hanging out with somebody's, you know, East Asian grandpa, and he might offer you a toasted cricket as a snack. And think that that's totally normal. You know, of course, the more modern Asians, the ones who are getting TV,
uh-huh.
who are watching a lot of TV, which is largely, you know, Western influenced, are eating less bugs. There was an anthropologist who said that, who had married a Thai woman, and he said that even the remote Thai villages where they were getting TV, they were stopping eating bugs.
Interesting.
So, you know, Western influence definitely has an influence. But it's much more prevalent in places like Thailand. You can find it at a lot of the open-air markets, and you'll see all these tourists standing around gawking at the selection of, you know, fried bugs and taking all these photographs. And meanwhile, the locals are just coming up and, you know, buying bagfuls of it and eating it as they continue shopping. So I think for some people, kind of hoping to save and preserve that idea in the cultures that still do it is important.
You obviously have your ear to the ground about this sort of stuff. Do you know by any chance or even rumor of any of the fast food manufacturers who are seriously researching, you know, bug flowers to either enhance or create new products with?
I don't. You know, there was that internet meme going around for a while that McDonald's uses chopped up worms in its burgers.
Yeah.
And people were freaking out about it. And, you know, of course it's not true. But if it were true, that would be perfectly fine. It would actually probably be better nutrition than straight beef.
Yeah.
They did a taste test over in the Netherlands, which is a very big kind of food testing country, which a lot of people don't realize. They did a taste test between meatballs made with straight beef versus those made with, I think it was 25% mealworm.
Uh-huh.
And the mealworm ones won out.
Really?
Yeah, people like the way they tasted better. Because they do, they give a bit of a nutty, mushroomy taste,
uh-huh,
not to
yeah.
mention quite a bit more nutrition.
Well,
also, it would be great if McDonald's had a part mealworm burger. It would be a terrific idea.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the real nutritional contributions here. We hear about things like phytonutrients that vegetables possess that are good for us. I want to talk about what type of special nutrients we get from bugs. We're talking right now with Daniela Martin about her book, Edible, An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and the Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. You can get the book by going to superhumanradio.com. It's right there at the bottom of the homepage. You can also learn more about Daniela's writings by going to her website, girlmeetsbug.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
You know, these politicians, they don't care. And you know what the worst part is? Their children and their grandchildren are being affected by these genetically modified foods.
The GMO issue affects everybody.
So they're not only just selling their own souls, they're selling the souls of their offspring, their grandchildren, their nieces and nephew, who are being exposed to these things that are going to cause disease.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Listen weekdays at noon.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ICEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ICEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ICEA banner ad today. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Daniela Martin about her new book, Edible, An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and the Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. What's unique about eating bugs, Daniela, that they can contribute to us nutritionally that we can't get elsewhere?
Insects, typically the edible ones, are incredibly high in a lot of the nutrients that we're trying to get from other animal products in our diet. Nutrients they are typically high in are iron, calcium, B12, zinc, and protein. You know, and typically they even contribute a lot of these in higher amounts than even things that we consider to be already high in those, like beef, for instance. Something like a cricket will have more iron, more B12, more zinc, and more calcium even than beef. And you can eat a lot less of them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, remember those old Total commercials where it was like, you have to eat this many bowls in order to, of the other cereal to get the fiber in one bowl of Total.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that for bugs.
Interesting. What is the filet mignon of bugs that has the greatest contribution to nutrition, plus apparently the greatest flavor appeal, and maybe even it's the largest as well, that you could really, it's succulent, you know what I mean?
You know, that's a tricky one, because most succulent bugs are typically larvae, the caterpillars of moths. And occasionally butterflies and occasionally beetles. These, you know, because these are more of the veal.
I was just going to say that they sound more like veal to me.
Yeah, but they are incredibly tasty. You know, they're very high in fat because they're getting ready to metamorphose. But it's good fat. It's the type of fat that you'd get typically from something like fish. Very high in essential fatty acids and omega-3s. So something, my favorite insect to eat without question is the caterpillar of the wax moth, the greater wax moth, I believe it's called.
Okay.
They're known as wax worms and they feed on a diet of bran and honey. And they taste like a cross between a mushroom and a pine nut and they are delectable.
Mm.
Yeah, they're great. Honestly, the top bug right now, I would say, is crickets. People are still a little bit, you know, grossed out by mealworms. But crickets have fairly good PR in Western society, thanks to, like, Jiminy, for instance. Crickets are incredibly high in things like iron, calcium, B12, and zinc. They have about half the protein of beef when you're comparing, you know, just wet volume.
Mm-hmm.
But typically people will, you know, toast crickets. And so then they're a lot lighter because they lose some of their moisture, and then they basically double the protein in beef when weighed pound for pound. So crickets are really good. They're very versatile. They take on the flavors of whatever they're being cooked with. Eaten alone, they kind of taste like a toasted almond. I would definitely, I think that crickets are a great, you didn't ask this question exactly, but I think they're a great starter bug.
Yeah.
Gateway bug. gateway bug. That's the one we're using right now.
Is the dung beetle misunderstood? Does the dung beetle actually eat dung, and therefore do we want to eat the dung beetle?
I think they eat a little bit of dung. Again, I'm not an entomologist. I have eaten dung beetle pupae. I've eaten young dung beetles, and they were delicious. So, you know, they can be eaten. Like many insects, they can be purged prior to being eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you'll get a live insect, like for instance, if you get worms out of your garden, they're going to taste exactly like dirt because that's what they eat all day.
Yeah.
But you can purge them by giving them a diet of cornmeal for a few days so that they kind of, you know, get rid of their original diet and taste a little cleaner.
That's pretty cool. That's kind of stuffing them before you can feed them whatever you want to feed them crab meat, and then they could be dung beetles stuffed up with crab meat, right? There you go.
Yeah, you could definitely do that.
I remember that when I first started doing the show about a decade ago, there was actually an anabolic supplement that was supposed to grow muscle that was, and I just can't think of the name. I just remember there was an X in the name. But it was derived from bugs, and the concept was that this is what allowed bugs to grow so rapidly, so completely regrow ectoskeletons and so on. So therefore, it had some sort of anabolic activity. I'm wondering if there are other things in bugs aside from, you know, the run of the mill protein, fat, carbohydrates, calcium, iron, blah blah blah, that would fall into the area of phyto, where phytonutrients do, you know, polyphenols and so on that we now know about certain vegetables and herbs that bugs contain that seem to beget a greater degree of health aside from just their macronutrient ratios and minerals and vitamins.
Sure. I would say that. Definitely, as a food source, they have not been studied as deeply as a lot of these other foods.
Uh-huh.
I am very optimistic that that will happen. But up until now, it's been seen as kind of a joke by most Western researchers. That is, does seem to be changing, but, you know, that's what we've got to work with up till now. So most of the evidence that we have is historical. Anyway, which is obviously not as detailed.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And anecdotal, probably from kind of primitive cultures who say, well, when you have a fever, eat a dung beetle or something like that. You know.
Right. Right. Exactly. Now there is a lot of science that has been done and is currently being done, which is great. But yeah. In terms of like a phytonutrient type thing for bugs, I am very curious as to what this anabolic muscle builder was,
I would like to find out more about that.
I
promise you that I will find it probably after the show is over, and I'll send it to you. I promise you that. But I can.
I'm pretty skeptical that something that would work for a bug would also work for a human in that sense.
It did not work, but the science behind
it didn't work.
It didn't work. It did not work.
No.
But the logic behind it was, hey, it makes bugs grow in 2 days from this to that, so think what it'll do for your muscles, you know?
Yeah, which is a cute idea. It's, you know, cute marketing. That's fine.
Yeah.
I am going to use this opportunity, if you don't mind, to kind of segue into this idea that insects have, you know, people are worried that insects will carry diseases.
Yes.
Right? And the idea is that actually insects physiologically are so vastly different from humans that there is virtually no pathogen that would affect an insect that would also infect a human. Right? Because they just, you know, I mean, most insects don't even have proper blood vessels. You know, they're basically the dot and line drawing comparison to the full Rembrandt of a human.
Right.
They're just so much more simplistic. They work completely differently from us. They're cold-blooded. You know, they have their skeletons on the outsides of their bodies. They're very different organisms. The times that they have been involved in spreading disease to humans is when they were spreading human disease from one human to another. So it's never that the bug has some disease that it gives to the human unless we're talking about parasites. And parasites are something that are found in all types of meat.
Right,
so it's not really fair to just assign that to insects. Okay.
Right.
Going back to what you were asking, the only thing I can think of is chitin. Chitin is what an insect's exoskeleton is made of. It is a substance similar to your fingernails and your hair. Huh. It is also somewhat similar to the cellulose structure that's found in plants. And it's this cellulose that's found in plants that is what we know of as roughage, right?
Right.
It's, gosh, this is getting a little above my pay grade here, but I believe it's the non-water soluble fiber.
Okay.
I was that you get say, from plants that is,
I was going to ask
sorry,
you, if it was, I was going to ask you if it was water soluble or not.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's the non-water soluble kind. And it's the kind that, you know, typically you will use to kind of push the rest of your food through your system.
Yeah, like psyllium husk that's found in Metamucil.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And what's interesting about that is insects are the only meat source that contain their own roughage.
That is
right? They contain their own fiber. There's no other, you know, largely meat diet that you can eat. I mean, typically the problem with eating too much meat is you're not getting enough fiber, right? So you get all stuffed up. And with insects, that is apparently not as much of a problem. There are a lot of other really interesting applications for chitin that are being studied. There was one thing several years ago, and I don't know how far research on it got, but there was a question as to whether this chitin, it's kind of a long story, but humans produce something called, an enzyme called chitinase, which is used to break down chitin. And there was something to do with this process that had researchers questioning whether chitin could be one of those compounds, I guess, that actually absorb or attract fat in the diet. You know how there's been a few of these supplements that suggest that they actually will kind of absorb the fat in your diet so that you don't absorb it.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was some research being done on chitin regarding that.
Well, what I'm thinking of when you say that there seems to be an enzyme for chitin in humans is chitin persistence. In other words, in order for there to be an enzyme to interact with this, with chitin, then we must have evolved with chitin in our diet. That we know that those who evolved under conditions where milk was available, they developed lactase persistence. So in order to have chitinase, I don't know, is that what it's called? Is it called chitinase by any chance?
Yeah, it's called chitinase.
Okay. In order to have chitinase persistence, that means that we must have evolved eating enough bugs where our body started to, we started to select for people who were able to digest bugs better because that was part of our evolutionary gift of survival. That's what I'm thinking of when you say that. That just shows that
that's what I'm thinking
bugs.
As well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, by the way, it's really nice to be able to talk to somebody who's sort of up to speed on this stuff. It's many interviews I talked to wouldn't make that connection.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking.
I wonder if only you're, you know, cause we know that certain populations do not have lactase persistence. So we know that they did not evolve with the availability of dairy. I wonder if there is a delineation between populations in that way too, that chitinase persistence seems to be prevalent in Eastern Europeans, but not, you know, it'd be interesting to find out.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think up till now, nobody's been interested in finding out. but, you know, it just has been considered. I mean, how would you get the funding for that kind of research? It seems so off the wall and fringe.
Well, you know what?
It makes sense.
Monsanto is claiming that they're going to feed the world with genetically modified foods. I'm sure that a better solution would be to learn how to eat bugs since we've been doing it for millions of years. I want to take our last commercial break. I want to talk about when we come back why learning to eat bugs may actually save the planet and also how you got into this. That's got to be an interesting story as well. We're talking right now with Daniela Martin. We're talking about her book, Edible, An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and The Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. You can get the book at the website, superhumanradio.com. Down at the bottom, you'll see a banner ad. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenge and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells, or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Daniela Martin about her book, Edible, An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and the Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. This just sent to me from Alex Leaf, who is the editor of our newsletter and also does some guest booking for the show. When he was studying in China, he was in Chengdu, China. When he was studying there, he said he ate crickets, spiders, scorpions, and other insects. All tasted great. But he said silkworms, horrible, horrible, horrible. And he points out that nothing goes to waste in China. They eat everything. Dog, cats, everything. Bugs. But interestingly enough, they don't eat genetically modified corn or foods. What does that tell you? they'll eat dogs, cats, and bugs, but they won't eat GMO. That should mean something to us. But anyway, what do you think about that? Silkworms. Have you tasted them?
Oh, yes. And I find this one, I have heard reports of people eating silkworms in Chinese markets that didn't taste good. It's odd. So canned silkworms, which are typically, you can find at Korean markets, because they are a popular old-timey Korean food that they call bondaegi.
Okay.
And so you can find them canned, kind of like a smoked oyster. And a canned silkworm is the worst thing I have ever tasted in my life, bar none. And I've eaten a lot of weird things. So by that token, I absolutely agree. However, I did have freshly fried silkworms in Thailand, which tasted like popcorn. They were delicious. So I don't know if it has to do with the freshness. I don't know if it has to do with the diet of the silkworms. I don't know what the answer is there. I do empathize with, you know, preserved silkworms are the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Why is this an opportunity to save the planet, learning to eat bugs?
Insect, farmed insect, require so far fewer resources than other forms of livestock that it's basically mind-blowing. They require far less food in order to make the same amount of protein. Because insects are cold-blooded, and because they as a species, as an organism, are focused on growing body mass and reproducing quickly.
Uh-huh.
They require far less food in order to make the same amount of protein, right? An insect can take the same amount of food as a cow, and they will use it to grow body mass very quickly, reproduce exponentially, and then die within a few months. So they have a shorter lifespan as well. Because they have cold blood, they don't burn as many calories just heating their own blood. They turn all of that energy straight into body mass and reproduction.
Oh, interesting.
So that's number one, right?
Yeah.
Number two, they require far less water. I haven't figured out why exactly. I'd probably need an entomologist's help on that. But they require a lot less water to produce the same amount of protein. They also require a lot less land space, right? Something like a cow is going to require, you know, an acre to several acres, depending on the season, in order to grow. A cricket needs, you know, 2 square feet. It can be farmed vertically, you know, without any undue psychological damage, if you will, on the cricket. Crickets are perfectly fine being in a small space. Their vision isn't that great. They don't need a lot of room. They just want to be safe from predators, and they want to have food, and they want to mate and have their babies and die. So these are some of the main reasons. They can be grown in virtually any habitat. They can be grown, you know, in a person's closet. They can
be grown
on a balcony.
I was just going to say, I think there's the crickets that live in my house that annoy me. I should just find them and eat them. That'll be it.
Well, I wouldn't actually recommend doing that. I would like to make, I think it's important to make a distinction between what are seen as urban and household bugs and intentionally farmed bugs. The bugs you see crawling around your house, they're probably fine if you eat them. But, you know, who knows what kind of chemicals that you have lying around your own house that they've walked through or somehow ingested. You know, who knows if they've been crawling around through your asbestos-filled attic. You know, these are the kinds of things. Basically, you want to be aware of the human toxins that these insects might have come into contact with. Which is why, you know, and I think it's also better for kind of the public to have this separation in their mind between, you know, the roaches they see in their kitchen and an intentionally farmed insect that has been fed, you know, a good diet and has been, you know, had kept in under supervision its whole life, and we know exactly what that insect has been into and what it's eaten. So there's a very big difference between what we consider a food insect and the ones you see crawling around, even in your yard. Right, because there's fertilizers, there's pesticides, there's all kinds of things that this bug could have come into contact with that will make it not very good to eat.
How did you get involved in this?
When I was in college, I was studying pre-Columbian nutrition in Mexico. Basically, I wanted to see what the Maya and the Aztecs were eating before Columbus came along. Because I'm interested in native diets. I'm interested in what we were eating before we got, you know, hyper-processed.
Right.
And one of the things, so they didn't have a lot of large game in that area. They didn't have bison like we have in other parts of the Americas. So they had to eat kind of a bigger range of animals. They ate everything that ran across their environment. They ate deer, they ate frogs, they ate dogs, they ate turkeys, they ate fish, they ate birds, they ate reptiles, and they ate bugs. And my interest specifically was what vestiges of early native Mexican cuisine had survived to the present day. And insects are one of those things. Insects are one of the things that they ate, you know, hundreds of years ago, and they're still eating today.
Really?
And I just thought this was fascinating. And had a wonderful experience when I was in Mexico doing research for my my thesis on this, where I sat down, I bought a bag of chapulines, which is like a toasted grasshopper, very popular in Mexico. And I sat down at a cafe to eat these bright red, kind of roasted chili lime spiced grasshoppers, because I wanted something to, you know, chase it down with. And I poured them out onto my tablecloth to take a picture. And before I could even start eating them, my table was surrounded by a bunch of native kids that had wandered in off the street and started eating them right off my table. And I love children. So, you know, it's this wonderful experience as a young anthropologist, you know, having native kids eating what is known to be a very native food right off your table and clearly enjoying it. And from that moment on, it was just kind of like, wow, you know, this is a real thing. You know, here these kids are eating it and loving it. Where could this go?
Right.
And from then on, I've been fascinated by it.
Alicia Silverstone really got a lot of heat for chewing her child's food and then putting it in her mouth. It's something that mothers for millions of years have done for their children. Will you introduce your baby to bugs, and if so, when?
That's a great question. I have been quite surprised because, you know, because of my morning sickness, I suddenly understand what, because, you know, people say, ew, bugs are gross. Which I think is a reasonable response if usually untested. Most of the people who think bugs are gross have never actually tasted a bug. But all of a sudden, here I am, and I'm, you know, very nauseous, and I think bugs are gross right now.
Right.
So it's a good question, but absolutely my children will be raised eating bugs. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah.
At what point will I introduce them? You know, I'll probably wait just to be on the safe side. You know, you're not supposed to give a kid honey until it's like one or two.
Right.
Right? But, so I'll probably wait.
Yeah.
I'll probably wait till they're on to solid food.
Your kid is either going to be really, really, really cool, or his friends are going to say, your mom is crazy at school. They're going to be like, hey, your mom is bugs. She's crazy. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the danger. I mean, I would hate for my kid to be ostracized because of what I do.
Yeah, no, I have a feeling that his or her friends will think that you're really cool. Really, I think that's
I hope
good.
So. I hope so.
The book is called Edible. And it's really a great book. You can get it at SupremeRadio.com. An Adventure into the World of Eating Insects and the Last Great Hope to Save the Planet. Daniela Martin, thank you for being on the show, especially since now I know that you are having morning sickness and not feeling well. It's been a very, very special interview. Thank you so much.
I had a great time. Thanks so much.
Take care. And please go to Daniela's website. It's a cool website, girlmeetsbug.com. We'll be right back with Sean Casey as we talk about N equals 1. Stay tuned.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Showtime. You know, a lot of us base a lot of information from the results that we see, whether it's in the gym, nutritionally, whatever. I like to call it N equals one type research. And my guest today, Sean Casey, has an opinion about this. And you can find out more about him at his website, caseperformance.com. How you doing, Sean?
Doing very well yourself.
Fantastic. So what made you write this article, first of all? This started out as a blog post that Alex Leaf read and said, hey, you got to have this guy on to talk about this.
The underlying motivation for it was, of course, I really love research, looking at the different studies that are coming out, this and that. But I found a lot of people were taking the research, and kind of automatically assuming that it applied to their life, or reading the research and telling people like, oh, this is what you should do, this is going to work for you. When in doubt, they really, they have no idea necessarily how it's going to, how their bodies are going to be responding to a supplement protocol or a training protocol. And it just kind of boiled down to the idea of, ultimately what's the most important thing for you is not necessarily what happened to random subjects in this study, but rather how do you feel when you apply this research to your life? You know, is it making a difference? And ultimately, that's what we're after, you know. The most important person of any study should be your own study, and that person should be you, of course. So that was kind of the underlying motivation which got me thinking about the concept and how important it is, and the need to, you know, test yourself and see how your body reacts to something rather than just taking someone's word for it and, you know, before even applying it to yourself, throwing it onto the next person down the line in the process.
And really, this quite often it should be more important than the study itself, because let's face it, if you don't respond the way the subjects in the study did, who cares what the study provided? And I, you know what? I like to look at scientific research the same way. Are you a shooter? Do you shoot guns by any chance?
Yeah, I do a little shooting.
Okay. So when you get a brand new rifle that you've never shot before and you put a scope on it, there's a process called bore sighting. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Bore sighting, for those of you who don't know, it's a target. It's a small target, if you will, that a rod slides down the bore of the gun, and then there's a little bead, and you use this to get your scope on paper. And then once you're on paper, then you can come down a few degrees, go over a few degrees until you find the bullseye, because every gun is unique. Well, I like to look at science the way you look at bore sighting. It's like, okay, this has some evidence to get me on paper, but what I need to do for me to hit the bullseye could be vastly different than the 38 subjects in this study. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, I agree 100% with you. You know, it's kind of building off that same idea. I always tell people, you know, research leads to me search. And I look at the research like a compass. You know, if I'm out in the middle of nowhere, having a compass is better than nothing. You know, I can get myself in the general right direction. I know I'm going north, or I know I'm going east, south, whatever. But, you know, the me search part of the process is that GPS compass that you have dialed into exactly what you're doing, where you're at, how far, you know, things are from you, or like your goals. And so that's, you know, I like your analogy because it makes a lot of sense, you know. You're just trying to get within the ballpark, you know. It's kind of like when I'm doing a nutrition plan or a training plan for someone, you know, my first thing that I send to them, and I'll be completely honest with them, is I'm like, you know what, I'm taking my best ballpark guess at what and how, at, you know, taking into consideration your input, my experience, you know, and trying to get a best game plan established for you. But we really don't know how that game plan is going to go until you implement it into your life. And then, you know, we'll, based off your feedback, we'll tweak things to really fine-tune the GPS into, you know, what you need.
Do people find... I sometimes think that people expect anyone, regardless of what trade you're in, to speak unabashedly, affirmed of opinion and say, this is absolutely what you need to do. And I see this in the fitness industry all the time. It's called a cookie cutter approach. When people speak like, oh, this is the way you must do it, they always have a group of non-responders that go by the wayside because they're not willing to say, you need something different, because they don't, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden they lose their position of pontificating about, you know, what to do. What do you think about that?
I agree 100% with you. You know, there's a lot of people, and, you know, it's kind of like I always tell people, it's the guru approach of assuming that everyone is going to respond exactly how maybe your own personal experience was with it. And all of a sudden, if they don't respond right, it turns into, well, I know this works. Obviously, you're doing something wrong. If you're not going to follow my program, then, you know, good riddance to you, which, you know, I've never quite understood before. It's, you know, everyone realizes that, you know, everyone's going to respond differently. You know, if we were all the same genetic map and the same physiological and psychological variables going on, you know, great, but we're not. You know, everyone is going to respond different. Everyone's going to have different motivations going in. And, you know, and the interesting thing we kind of were talking about at the start with, you know, the studies, how the results just apply to those individuals. You know, what's crazy is what most people forget is those studies only apply to those individuals at that exact time at which they were doing the study, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if it was just a one-time study, you know, they wanted to see how somebody would respond to a given training protocol. Maybe on a Monday they respond great. Maybe on Tuesday they respond horribly. All we see is the data from the Monday response.
Interesting.
And so that's, you know, the importance, realizing everything is a fluid, you know, like fluidity, it's going to be changing constantly. And if you're not willing to adapt your views to the response of the person you're working with, then, you know, what are we doing? We're not helping anyone.
Yeah, and that's a really, really great point that a lot of people miss. I want to take a quick commercial break. We're talking right now with Sean Casey. His website is caseperformance.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhumans.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance, benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called piezole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Piezole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
True Iron Sports Nutrition, the all-natural sports nutritional supplement company for the serious athlete. Their products contain no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, only sweetened with stevia.
Elisa loves Revival 411, their all-natural intra- and post-workout supplement, which is a high-dose amino acid formula. Let's not forget their number one seller, Eminence, a pre-workout supplement that is the most complete all-natural product on the market today. Go to TrueIron.com. Use coupon code SHR30 for 30% off today. Check it out. We're talking to Sean Casey. His website is CasePerformance.com. If you hear me smacking my lips, I'm trying to get Percoba colostrum off of my teeth right now because that was my intra-commercial break meal. So this is really interesting, and I don't think enough people realize this. And you can use this in every area of your life. But let's go ahead and detail what the traditional scientific process is that usually is used by most scientists that are doing research. Starting off with observe a problem. So we have a problem, right? Whatever that problem is, right?
Yep.
What's the next step?
Next step, you know, you review through previous research, you know, that you've done as well as other, you know, scientists kind of working in the field. And then, you know, based off this research, you form hypothesis, you know. I think based off this problem, if we test this, this is the result that we think will happen. And then again, of course, you know, once you have that hypothesis, you run the test, you know, see if X led to Y, or if we're doing the correlation type study, if X is associated with Y, which, as you've talked about many times on your show, there's a big distinction between correlation and causation.
Right.
And then, you know, the results are observed, and once you've gathered the data, you review, you analyze it, you try to objectively form new conclusions based off, you know, what you found out, and from there, you know, you go forth and you plan your next study.
Now, quite often research abandons some of these steps. I find that some research leads in with desired results that they allow to almost, and we see this in the pharmaceutical industry regularly, right? If a study isn't going the way they want it, they abandon it, start over.
Yeah.
I mean, the scientific process is a win, lose, or draw process, but companies quite often don't make money on loses and draws. They only make money on win when the hypothesis that they are testing for ends up being the results that they're looking for. So we can't really trust science exclusively. It's not like math. 2 + 2 = 4. Doesn't matter who's doing the math. It's always 4. Really, we do need to look at science and apply some critical thinking and say, this doesn't sound right. This is not my experience. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree 100% with you. And it's also important that, you know, even when a perfect, you know, a great science is ran, always thinking about, okay, well, who was the population that was studied? You know, if I want to make a fat burner look good, you know, the best population to do it is probably in a severely overweight population because, you know, they're going to have the, you know, best chance to respond to something like that versus someone who's already completely healthy, you know, is looking great, feeling great. You know, you're going to have a lot harder time getting a 4 to 5% loss of body fat of somebody who's only 8% to start with. And so that's important. You know, I find scientists, or I shouldn't say I don't know if I should necessarily say scientists, but they'll only reveal data that will make their study look good. You know, I'm drawing a name blank on the word, but basically the idea of, like you said, if the study doesn't publish results they're expecting and they want to be able to advertise for
themselves. Yeah, they're selective on what they want to do, what they want to show. And you just pointed something out that's really important, too. So when you see research that's done on an untrained population, that should be discounted to some degree if we are applying that research and trying to show it to a trained population. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would agree 100% with you. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, make, like I said, kind of looking at what the baseline, what are they working with to start with? You know, I see that as a fundamental thing that people miss out on when they're trying to do the letting the research guide the research, is, you know, they're so fast tied into the research aspect of things, you know, they just start adding things into their life based off studies without really really paying close attention to the research part of it. You know, how did I respond when I implemented that in my life? And, you know, before I know it, you know, I talk with people who they're taking, you know, a gazillion plus five supplements or a bunch of different training or exercise protocols. And, you know, I'll ask them, like, well, how are you responding to this? And they'll be like, well, you know, I'm not really for sure. I just read somewhere that it was good. I heard,
right,
you know, this person say it's going to be well. And they don't have, you know, it's not like they haven't objectively evaluated, has this really made a difference for me? I know I kind of went a little bit off the topic.
No. That's good because and that really that what that speaks to is a term that for those who spend time on the fitness and exercise forums, they call it bro science. You know, it's like, because somebody told me it works this way, it must work this way, even if it doesn't work that way for me. And then the other problem with the idea of me-search as research is that people quite often give up too soon before, you know, we have, the average person has such a skewed idea of how long it takes for a given nutritional, supplemental, or exercise protocol to actually start showing results. They think because their favorite magazine shows somebody who lost 60 pounds in a month and a half, that if they really do everything right, they should be able to see results in 4, 5, or 6 days. And so they end up bailing on the me search part and exclusively believing the research part, when if they would have stuck around and done it longer, you know, quite frankly, to see good results, and people hate to hear this, sometimes it takes 2 to 3 months to see the results of your efforts, but nobody wants to wait that long.
Yeah, there's definitely the instant gratification pill going through in society where everybody wants, you know, have that pill instantly gratify them, you know, give them the movie star looks, the body of Mr. Carl Lenore, and just be, you know, phenomenally in shape, looking debonair, you know, and it's just not going to happen, like you said.
Yesterday we did a show with Dr. Mike T. Nelson talking about simple tests to help you find out if you're heading in the direction of progress. And quite often this could be the answer to jumping from one thing to another before it actually starts to work for you. Quite often I find that people jump from one thing to another because they're afraid they're going to invest too much time and not get any results, so they want to bail out now and find something that does work, quote unquote, but they haven't given anything a chance to work, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was finding it's important to stay the course. And, you know, and one of the main things you need to do in the me search is, you know, I think it's really important to talk with other people that have, you know, tried similar things. You know, beta-alanine is a, you know, an example. You know, that's, there's definitely, you know, some people who have responded to that, and, you know, it seems to be supporting the research. But, you know, as you were kind of mentioning, if you just take that for 3 or 4 days, you know, that's not going to provide you with good feedback if this is going to be effective for you working out. You know, you really need to kind of build up the stores in your body and see how you're going to respond to it.
How long does it take, do you think? I've heard as much as a month at just 1.5 to 2 grams of it a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, most of the studies, you know, have been anywhere from like 3 grams up to 6.4 grams. And really, to build your stores up, you know, you need a solid month before you can even really evaluate, you know, what type of effect is this having on your performance.
Do you believe beta-alanine works? I'm just curious.
You know, I've tried it before. I can't say that I, you know, looking back at my results, I know tangible benefits from it. You know, that's not to say it may not have helped, you know, 1% to 2%. You know, I think that was definitely one of the supplements where it came out and it was, you know, hailed the next creatine. And so, you know, it had a huge hype, but, you know, I think as more and more research comes out as well as people who have done kind of the research process like myself, and I know others have done it as well, you know, the results, you know, aren't quite as significant as they were expecting. You know, and I think that's another thing that's important to realize in terms of looking at research and applying it to your life.
Expectations?
The expectations, you know. Having, you know, a good supplement, if you have a 2-5% increase in performance, that's a great, you know, gain in performance, you know, from a given supplement. You know, I think a lot of people are expecting, you know, to have steroid, anabolic-like effects where you're going to have, you know, extremely huge gains from adding, you know, a given nutraceutical. And that's not to say given nutraceuticals won't have really good gains, but, you know, I think it's really important when you're evaluating and objectively looking at this is to have realistic expectations going into it. And I would say the other issue that's really important from truly, you know, following through on your research process is to kind of chart your results. You know, it's hard for me to compare something subjectively, you know, how do I feel today versus a month and a half ago if I'm looking at terms of gains of, you know, 2-5% in performance. And so, I mean, those are the other kind of big issues that I think are important in the research process.
Well, and coming back to the whole people give up too soon, the reality is that the average person could not quantify what a 2% increase in performance is because they're so inconsistent that they really don't have a baseline of what their expected maximum performance in a given area really is.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about earlier kind of the newbie, you know, to the training effect. That's something where, you know, any new person training, if I threw them on a lot of supplements, you know, or nutrition protocols or training protocols, like anything I did to them should show really great effects. And so if their effect is doing nothing or their baseline is doing absolutely nothing, you know, it's really hard to evaluate the impact of a certain thing at that time frame. So, you know, I agree 100% with what you're saying. You need to be doing things consistently, have a good baseline to start with so you can really form solid opinions out of the gate on something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think beta-alanine works, but I think that people's expectations of what it's going to do for them is something, and really, that falls on the shoulders of the supplement companies for overhyping supplements just to get people to buy them. That's why you don't see supplements, I mean, other than creatine, monohydrate, which I don't even think you need anything fancy. Other than creatine, I mean, how many supplements do you remember from 5, 6, 7 years ago that are gone now, that promised to be the end-all, be-all? If they even worked marginally, they'd still be around today.
So. Yeah, it's, pretty crazy. I remember, you know, first, like, the next creatine was the beta-alanine, and then the other one was
HMB.
Betaine. Yeah, HMB. I mean, there's been a long list of supplements that are supposedly going to be the next creatine. Like you said, it's, you know, the quick spike and then the fizzle. And, you know, and the other thing that supplement companies will kind of do is, you know, I always think of the classic bar graphs, you know, on a chart. And they'll, instead of looking at, like, from whatever 0% was up to, you know, 100%, you know, like, the full gamut of what the bar range is.
Right.
They'll magnify the differences from 80 to 84% on that thing. So you have one thing that, you know, in the big picture had, you know, a 2 to 3% gain, but all of a sudden we magnify these bar graphs that are on the back of a supplement company. It's like, holy hell, this was 5,000 times more. You know, this is a 5,000 times more taller bar graph with showing these better results.
Yeah.
On something.
Yeah. So. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Sean Casey about MeSearch, what you really should be paying attention to when it comes to finding out what works for you specifically, because everything that works for everybody else does not necessarily mean it's going to work for you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling, specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Sean Casey. His website is caseperformance.com. We're talking about MeSearch, the research that starts with you. When you compare your own experiences to those of studies and supplement companies telling you what something is going to do, does it really play out that way? And if it doesn't, do you try to tweak it? Do you give up completely? Do you give up too soon? What do you think? When you work with clients, especially from the standpoint of nutritional protocols, do you like to use like a paleo ancestral template?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I think there's a lot of really good key points of the ancestral diet and protocols. But again, I usually tweak it. You know, if you look at the hardcore, like the Lauren Cordain, you know, the paleo diet.
Yeah, no dairy, which I can't get with, you know. I just can't get with.
My diet, I always tell people, for me, I feel the best diet for me is, you know, kind of the ancestral approach, but I tweak it to my, you know, desires, what I have found, you know, applying it to my life. And that's what I always tell people to do, you know, take this diet, you know, work with it. You know, I'm happy to facilitate whatever I can, you know, for the changes, but it's, you know, important for you to take it, you know, test it out on yourself, and then, you know, modify it as need be.
And this is my question to you. So when you take somebody and you start them off with a paleo template, or more of a primal template, I say, or ancestral, because if they're good with dairy, you let them eat dairy. What do you find most often becomes a required item to remove? Is it grains? Do people do well with grains? Is it corn, or do people do well with corn? What do you find?
I find a fair amount. I mean, this isn't always consistent, but if they're on a high grain diet, I find a lot of people don't do quite as well on that. You know, most people do pretty well with dairy, assuming they don't have some sort of, you know, lactose issue or something of that nature. I've had good success with that. I find most people with grains tend to feel a little bit better without it. But, you know, specific grains like, you know, I find a lot of people do, you know, pretty well with oats. Oats bran. You know, wheat is, you know, the gluten. Obviously, there are some people who have issues with it. You know, I have other people, though, they'll do a little bit with gluten, and assuming they're not taking gluten shakes 24/7, you know, it really doesn't seem to bother them on a high level. And, you know, I always tell people the best diet is the diet that you can and will follow long-term. And so I say long-term, but that's relative because the diet's always changing based off your goals and desires, whatever. But, you know, if somebody really wants to have a slice of wheat bread once a week and they're not experiencing really any negative effects, you know, then, hey, if that's, you know, how you're going to follow your diet, if you can work that in, you're not experiencing bad things from having a ham sandwich on wheat bread, you know, once a week, then, you know, have that, you know.
Right.
I feel it's better to allow something in than, you know, drive yourself crazy in almost like an orthorexia-like fashion, which I have seen, you know, in the past 3 or 4 years between, you know, comments on Facebook and talking with people, so many more people are all of a sudden paranoid about the food they're eating, thinking if they have anything, it's not healthy because they read a study somewhere, or, you know, someone's brother's neighbor's cat's dog walker, you know, told them it wasn't healthy type deal. And so that's, you know, the thing, you know, try it out on yourself. If you find that wheat doesn't bother you in small doses, then, you know, try it once in a while. Make the diet work for you. You know, I think it's important to make the diet or a training program a slave to you. You should not be a slave to your diet or training program.
Now, is there anything that you feel unabashedly like, look, there is no place in the diet for this particular thing? Because I find people who do nutritional consultations,
mm-hmm,
are afraid to take hard stands on things that they believe will insult the human condition, because they're afraid they'll lose clients if they say, hey, look, you know what? I don't care about anything, but this here is a no-no. And then, like, the person goes, well, I like that stuff, so I'm going to find somebody else. So I find that nutritional consultation consultants, by and large, have this attitude of, like, look, if it doesn't bother you, fine. Is there anything that you say, look, that has no place in the diet, period, end of story?
I'm not a big fan of highly processed foods. You know, something that's been in a wrapper for 5 years and is filled with preservatives. The other thing is, you know, I think more research will come out as time goes on. You always talk about the GMO-type foods. You know, I'm really interested to see how the research, you know, plays out on that long term, you know, the purely objective. You know, I think high doses of grains, and corn, I don't see any benefit having high doses of grains in the diet, just in the standpoint of they're not that nutrient dense. They tend to be the most problematic with people, and a lot of people, you know, as you're familiar with how the food guidelines were established, you know, it's basically we have a huge surplus of crops, you know, on our farm, on our, you know, in the USA, this is what we can sell for money.
Right.
And so I have issues with that, you know, how hard those are pushed as part of our sound, healthy diet.
Right.
I go to different nutrition conferences, and I hear this stuff being pushed, and I kind of want to do, you know, the facepalm into my head, you know. It's like, this is not good for people. The other issue I have a real big problem with in terms of traditional, you know, the dietetics, and hopefully I'll probably get crucified for this by all my superiors, but, you know, the idea of, you know, if you're working with a diabetic, you know, having them, you know, it's like, okay, well, you can't eat processed grains, but if you eat the whole grains and 200 grams of carbohydrates, you'll be fine as long as it's a processed, or as long as it's a whole grain, not a processed grain. That's where I usually have my biggest sticking points with traditional nutritionists. You know, the amount of carbohydrates that are needed, especially in a diabetic population.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think the best, I'm trying to think who we had on the show one time, a doctor from State University of New York, who was the first time I ever heard him use the term diabetics or carbohydrate intolerant. The way we think of lactose intolerance for people who drink dairy and get sick from it, you know, type 2 diabetics don't tolerate carbohydrates. They say carbohydrate intolerant. And I remember the first time thinking, like, you wouldn't force a person who is lactose intolerant to drink dairy anyway. Like, say, well, yeah, you're lactose intolerant, but you should get at least a quart of milk a day. So why would you take somebody who has type 2 diabetes and say, no, no, but you absolutely should be eating carbohydrates every single day? It just doesn't make any sense. You know, like, that's the American Dietetic Association's approach to it all. It's shocking.
Yeah, and you know, I always remember the time, and it just bewildered me when I was doing my dietetic internship. You know, we have rotations. I remember doing my diabetes rotation, and the number of clients where they'd be like, you know, and this was, you know, 2011 or so, so they may have changed some of the protocols a little bit. But it was, you know, a grown male could have anywhere from 45 to 75 carbohydrates per meal, 3 meals a day. Their snacks were 15 to 30 grams of carbohydrates. I mean, all of a sudden you're at 300 grams of carbohydrates, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? You're drowning these people in something we know their body can't process well.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
And your response is like, oh, well, we just up their dose of medicine.
I know.
And then, you know, the number of, and then what got me even further was the number of type 2 diabetics that they would have that would go from, you know, just having metformin, and all of a sudden, before long, you're having metformin, you're throwing some other medication on them. And before long, you have
insulin.
They
do this with people with insulin, right? So I was talking to a guy one day at the gym, and we were talking about this exact thing. And I forget how many milligrams of Humalog he was taking. And I said, you know, and he said, let me think who this was. He says, well, my doctor increased my Humalog so that I can have 250 grams of carbohydrate today. And I said, why not just back down to 150 and back down your dose of Humalog? And he looked at me like I had three heads. Like, why would I want to do that? And I'm thinking, well, if you eat less carbs, you'll need less insulin.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is your doctor increasing your insulin so that you can eat more carbs?
Yeah, it's such a you know, a backwards idea. Like, I don't even know where you begin to, you know, gain a sense of reason, being thinking, oh, we'll just throw more Humalog at him, not finally sit him down and be like, hey, you need to back off the amount of food that you're eating. You need to exercise more. Like,
doesn't make any sense at all. Let's do this. we have to take our last commercial break. Let's take our last commercial break, and we'll wrap it up when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
The government doesn't always have your health in its best interest. Luckily, we have Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength. Gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, was geht ab? Guten Morgen, es ist 7:30 Uhr hier auf We Got Soul FM. Und ich habe hier einen heißen Track für einen heißen Tag. Max, sehr schön, dass du wieder da bist, Liebe.
You try saying that. Welcome back. We're talking with Sean Casey. His website is caseperformance.com. What do you want to mention to wrap up the interview in this discussion about paying more attention to me search and maybe a little bit less to the research out there? And I have something interesting to talk about at the end of that.
The final, thing that I think is important, especially for, especially someone who's going to be giving nutritional advice to other people or training advice is, and this is something I do see as a big problem in our industry, is people who merely pass information along, pass the research on to another individual without implementing it into their own life. And what I mean by that is, do you remember when the original 300 movie came out, and all of a sudden there was the 300 workout that everyone was doing?
Yeah, and people were like, hey, you need to get this guy on the show. He's the guy who did the 300 workout. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you remember that. And so, I remember looking left and right at people who were having their clients all of a sudden doing the 300 workout, and they themselves, I know, could not have done the 300 workout themselves. And, I almost wondered, are you serious? Have you ever done this workout yourself? You're totally throwing out your entire program with this person, all of a sudden doing a 300 workout, and they had no idea how their own body responded to it, much less someone else's. And so that's what I see as a big problem when somebody abuses the me search process, when they don't apply it to themselves before going on, or even with nutrition protocols, you're not experiencing something themselves before recommending it to others. When that happens, all of a sudden, especially if they pass it on without, informing the person, hey, I haven't done this before.
I haven't done this before. I'm not going to try either because I know I can't.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not, for instance, a friend, Zach Bitter, he's a big ultra marathon runner and he's done very well on a high, fat, low carbohydrate based, meal plan. And so, I'm not an ultra runner marathon guy myself. I'm more of an anaerobic machine. That's my game.
Right.
And so, if I'm doing nutrition consultations with, ultra runners, I'll be honest with them in that regard and saying, I'm not an ultra runner, but based off my experience working with other runners, as well as, taking into consideration, some feedback from my friend who, at least himself, I can give him research, but I'm always honest in the fact that, I'm not an ultra endurance runner. I mean, I think there's nothing worse than the person who tries to play it off like, oh, yeah, I've done this before. And then somebody asks them a question, and they're just standing there with their finger up their butt like, geez, I have no personal experience to fall back on to, troubleshoot what the issue may be for you.
And this is what comes back to the point that I want to make. Research is okay, but you should not treat it like it's absolute. Science
exactly.
is okay, but you should not treat it like it's absolute. So a friend of mine sent me an article late last night published by the Cleveland Clinic talking about, are you taking too much calcium A or D? And they cite now the calcium part I get. People are taking calcium without knowing how much calcium they get in their diet, but that's something the medical orthodoxy launched into. People that did it on their own. They go on to talk about vitamin D and vitamin A, that most people are taking way too much of these already, that they shouldn't be taking them. And they point to vitamin A, saying that taking more than 5,000 IUs a day is dangerous and risky and could have serious health problems because, I love when they say it, it's fat soluble, so it stays in your body. Well, so do water-soluble vitamins, by the way, but nonetheless... So they're telling people, and they should, and in the article they say, and you should never take cod liver oil because cod liver oil is reduced vitamin A, which means real vitamin A, folks, because what they're really talking about is beta carotene in here. Reduced vitamin A is real vitamin A. It's retinol. It's real vitamin A. It's not something that converts to vitamin A. It's vitamin A in your body. They say you should never take real vitamin A. And so, a friend of the show and a friend of ours, Adele Musa, just posted moments ago research that shows rediscovering a weapon against atherosclerosis and reducing progression in patients, 25,000 IUs of retinol, real vitamin A day. So here's the problem. You must read the research. People don't want to be bothered doing that. If you are not willing to read the research, then you have to turn to sources that exhaustively read the research and don't go for just the headline. Number two, you must go for sources that are in search of the truth as well for their own purposes, not because they're institutions like the Mayo Clinic or, in this case, the Cleveland Clinic or whatever. Because there's a lot of conflicting information. And then lastly, you must not believe anybody 100%. You must apply your own critical thinking skills and say, let me think about this. When was it that we decided we shouldn't get real vitamin A in our diet? Because we've been doing it for millions of friggin' years. So how did we get from there to here without the brilliant Mayo Clinic telling us or Cleveland Clinic telling us, hey, don't take real vitamin A? Who told that to the Inuit? Who told that to the caveman, who was probably getting a lot of vitamin A because he was eating offal, he was eating organ meat from animals. Who told him, hey, don't eat a lot of that, it's going to hurt you? Nobody. And guess what? It didn't hurt him. He thrived. So at the end of the day, you got to take research with a grain of salt and apply your own critical thinking skills. And as Sean Casey points out, trust the me-search more than the research. Right, Sean?
Oh, I couldn't have summed it up better than what you did. You know, it's all about, you know, kind of as I led off the show, the most important thing is what you experience. You know, a research paper goes out the window once if it doesn't apply to you. And, you know, and that's the thing that, you know, it's always important to remember, you know, never make a knee-jerk decision based solely off a research paper. And that's, you know, with a grain of salt, because obviously if something shows cancer is caused in this paper, then you may want to, you know, jump a little quicker. But, you know, critically evaluating, you know, not jumping to conclusions way prematurely. And, you know, critically evaluating something in your life, apply it, see how you respond, because, like you said, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, it's really amazing. The website is caseperformance.com. Go there, check it out, check out his blog. He always interviews interesting people as well. Thanks for being on the show today.
It was a true pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the good work you and Elisa and Ginny and Alex Leaf and Adele Musa and everyone contributing to the show.
Thank you very much, Sean. Take care.
All right, bye now.
And we also want to thank, oh my God, isn't this terrible when I forget things? Daniela, why can't I think of her? Let me go to my website. This is terrible. I'm having a problem. I didn't sleep good last night. I haven't slept good in a couple nights, to be honest with you. I don't know what's going on with me. Daniela Martin, thank you, for Edible, an adventure into the world of eating insects and the last great hope to save the planet. You can learn more about her book by going to superhumanradio.com and going to the bottom of the page. And thank you for listening today, and we will see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The reason this government loves Monsanto, because we can no longer afford to do what we've been doing, which is giving everyone money to be our allies.
The war against Monsanto continues.
And there's an old saying, he who controls the food controls the population. You don't have to lift a finger or point a gun to completely control a population. All you have to do is control their food.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now